Friends, shall we begin this evening with singing from Psalter 193. 193. And there are the stanzas 1, 3, 5, and 6. O God, to thy anointed King, give truth and righteousness. Thy people he will justly judge, and give the poor redress. And also 3, the poor man's cause he will maintain, the needy he will bless. And what follows in 1, 3, 5, and 6 of 193. Scripture reading for this evening is from the prophecy from Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah 5, and begin with verse 13 to the end of the chapter. Isaiah 5, to begin with verse 13. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled. and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their roots shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he has stretched forth his hand against them, and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken, whose arrows are sharp and all their bows bent. Their horses' hoofs shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion. They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey, and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. And in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. So far the scripture reading. Shall we first try to ask the Lord for his blessing? Lord of heaven and of the earth, when in this evening we may have come together and thy house and our place may still be here around thy word. In a world that is getting darker and running to its destruction, O Lord, then we may have yet thy word, the word of life. But then thou knowest that we have come up to thy house. Thou knowest the hearts and the lives of those who know the power of thy word, in whose life thou hast spoken, and they have learned to love thy word. And yet, Lord, so many times in the voices of the mockers, it can be heard inside. So often, it seems as if everything will still come to naught. So often, they are assaulted and attacked by the enemy. And maybe that there are such tonight who have come here under heavy strife and have no strength against the enemy. All who, like Christian, when Apollyon attacked him, were soon put down and thought that the end was near. But Lord, God, thou give that they may still take hold of the sword of thy word to defend themselves and to cause the enemy to flee. Oh, in themselves they have no strength against that mighty enemy. And they would soon be defeated, and the enemy will triumph. And sometimes it seems as if they are hearing the enemy already rejoicing. Oh, we have prevailed, and he that lieth down will never arise any more. And Lord, it seems that the mockers and those who trample upon thy word and those who make their own laws and own norms triumph in this world, in this country. And thou knowest how often such a time is also a time of heavy oppression for thy church. O Lord, hast thou forgotten to be gracious? Hast thou forsaken us? Hast thou given us up? And wilt thou not be merciful to us anymore? O Lord, wilt thou yet arise? And wilt thou yet show thy mighty arm? O, may it be seen and be manifest yet that thou art not yet done with us, that thou art still mindful of an unthankful and undeserving, a guilty people. And that is not only the world, but it is also the church. That is also the living church, a guilty people. Lord, that we may own the guilt of the country, that we may say, we have sinned and we have committed iniquity. Oh Lord, that we may not look down, but that we may be brought into the breach which we have made, and oh, that thou may grant that there may be a storming of the throne of grace by unworthy ones. And Lord, so we commend each other unto thee. Thou knowest how we have come here tonight. Not only thy children in their afflictions, in the strife of their life, but also the unconverted, those who are strangers of the life of grace, whose heart is still a stony heart, who have never heard thy voice in truth. Oh Lord, may this evening be the hour of thy good pleasure, that the dead would hear the voice of the Son of God and live. And Lord, when we then commend each other unto thee, then thou knowest all the needs in the midst of the congregation, the elderly ones and the weak ones and the lonely ones and the mourning ones. We commend them all unto thee. And those in troubles, in trials, and Lord, thou knowest them, all of them, most perfectly. Wilt thou yet convert unto thee? Wilt thou yet comfort those who mourn? Strengthen those who are weak. Visit those who are lonesome. And Lord, remember us also in this evening yet. May it be with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, deliver not up the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. And will thou yet arise, O Lord? Thou hast said, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. My Lord, that is thy word, but all may we feel it, may we experience it yet. May there yet be a little token of thy favor, a little token that thou knowest of us, that it is not all imagination, that it is not all of ourself, that it is not all our beginning, or that it is not all darkness, but that thou cometh, and that thou revealest thyself, and that thou wilt confirm thine own work. Lord, in the midst of the years in wrath, remember mercy, and wilt thou gladden us then in this evening yet with thy help and presence. Help us also to explain a little portion of the Pilgrim's Progress, that we may have a profitable hour together, that there may be a little instruction in it for thy people, but for every one of us, a little word of warning, a little word of a comfort. Lord, our eyes are upon thee. Do not put us to shame. Remember us, and have respect unto thy covenant, and gladden us yet with thy doings, we ask thee, in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Dear friends, in this evening, I would like to speak to you about four persons. The first one of them is the one whose name is called Ignorance. The second one is Mr. Turn Away. And the third one is Mr. Little Faith. And then there is still a man in a white robe whose name is Flatterer. Christian and Hopeful have been on the Delectable Mountains and had a very beautiful time there, and they received lots of instruction from the four shepherds. And before they bid farewell to Christian and Hopeful, the one gave them a map, and the other warned them for Flatterer, and a third one said, don't sleep on enchanted ground, and there it is not safe. And the last one bade them Godspeed and gave them the blessing. And yeah, then also this pleasant time is past. And then again we read they were going down the mountainside. It's always the life of God's church. From the one place of strengthening to another place of trial. And from the top of the mountains by moments into the valleys again of strife and humiliation. And so when they are going down from the mountainside, and at the foot of the mountains on the left side, they see a country with the name of Conceit. From the country there is a lane, a little crooked, takes lots of turns, and that then finally joins the highway where Christian and Hopeful are walking. And then they look down and they see a person coming up to them from that winding road, that crooked road, and soon they meet that person. It is a young and lively boy, young man, and easy to talk to, and So soon they are involved in a conversation. And Christian is a man who is interested in the life of others. I hope we have that too, that we say we're not just goodbye in a nice weather or a cold today and a little bit about your everyday things, but that we also may try to ask each other, how is it now with you today? How was it today? What kind of day was it? And how is it now in Sedim? And so Christian really shows interest, and he says, wherever do you come from? Well, he says, I come from the country here, from the country of Conceit. And I'm also on the way to the celestial city. I'd like to walk with you. I'm on that way. All Christian says, and he looks at that boy, and he says, but do you know that when you come to the gate, that's not so easy. You must show something there. You must have, and he remembers what he got on that hill where the cross was. You must be able to show a document, a scroll. It must be a testimony that you must be able to show when you come to the gate. So did you think about it? Oh, he says, I'm on the way just like other good people, and I think I know God's word too, and I know the scriptures, and I have left my country for it, to make that trip, to make the journey, so I'm not living there anymore. There's a change in my life, and so I'm on the way to that gate. I'm sure they will not refuse me. They will accept me because I'm just like as good as you are, as other people. And I know the truth. I know the word of God. And I left my country. I left it behind. So that's nothing. I am really a changed person. Well, Christian says, I don't know. Do you know of that gate, that narrow, that wicked gate, that narrow gate that you have to go through in order to come to this way? He says, no, I don't think that's necessary. I know that I've heard of it, but it's so far away from our country. And no one of our country knows really where it is. And it's just something out of the picture for us. And we notice this very far away. And this lane that leads to this road is pleasant and beautiful and easy and good. And it brings us to the same place. And he looks at Christian as if he said, well, what are you talking about? Why are you asking such questions? You think that you are wise? I'm wise myself. Don't talk against me. And so the young man is quite convinced of his right and quite convinced of his being entitled to enter in through the gate of the celestial city. He is wise in his own eyes. We read from Isaiah 5, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. There's now exactly the picture of this young man. He's a man who thinks he knows the truth and he is smart in his own eyes and he thinks it is not necessary to worry about all these things. Those people, they may have come in their way, but I come there in my way as well as you. It doesn't have to be that heavy, doesn't have to be that difficult, doesn't have to be that narrow way. My way is as good as yours. I'm a good Christian. I am a good person. I know the word, and I am a changed man. I don't belong to the world. I'm on the way to the celestial city. And you know, we read in Proverbs 26, verse 12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? That's where he comes from, the country conceit. There is more hope of a fool than of him. And see, that appears to be true also for this Mr. Ignorant. Oh, you know, everyone who contradicts him is wrong in the eyes of them. Is there somebody who's ignorant? He is so convinced of his own right that everyone who has a different opinion is either a fool in his eyes, or somebody who is biased, or somebody who is narrow-minded, but at least somebody that you should look down upon. And a Christian, he stops the conversation and he says to his friend, let us leave him alone. Perhaps he will think about what we said. Maybe still a hope. He likes to think the best, likes to have hope that maybe the young man, when he is left alone, may still think about what he heard, and that the Lord might bring him to different opinions. Maybe we see him later, he says, and maybe then we can do some good to him, but now we cannot do any good, because you can talk to him. And so they leave Ignorant, but Ignorant doesn't go back. He continues the same way as a Christian and hopeful go, and they will meet him later on yet, even at the gate of the celestial city. But we hope to hear of that later on, if the Lord spares us. Ignorant. Now, ignorant in his own eyes doesn't mean that he is an uneducated person. It doesn't mean that he has no talents. He's a lively, energetic, and zealous person, we would say. But one who is high and convinced of his own right, not a poor sinner. It is one who doesn't know anything about the beginning, about regeneration, about repentance and faith. It is also one who talks about a good person, and he knows the law, he thinks, but the law has never become a schoolmaster to him, but he uses the law as a ladder to climb up to the celestial city, and that is not possible. That is ignorant, that's the first one. So they continue their way, and after a while they come to a very dark lane. And there they see something that makes them shiver. See a man, he's bound with seven strong cords. And there are seven devils that carry the man back to gate of the pit of destruction. Mr. Turnaway is his name. Oh, he dwelt in the city of apostasy. You know, he was also on the road. He was on the way. He had a serious beginning, we would say. And he came quite far on the way. And yet, he goes back. Congregation, your friends, Reverend Bunyan, John Bunyan, he also knew the difference between temporary faith and saving faith. It can go for quite a while, can last for a long time, and that we seem to be on the same road, but that we fall away. No, he did not believe like the remonstrants that there is an apostasy of the saints. That was not a doctrine that Bunyan believed in, because he knew that Scripture tells us something else, but he knows that it can be so close. The almost Christian can be on the same road outwardly and can return as dark to his vomit and can return to the foolishness of his life, or at least at the end we see him being carried back to the place of destruction. Mr. Turn away. You know what the fruit is of, the result is of, I look at Christian and hopeful. They're both shaken up by it. They tremble. They are afraid. You know why? Oh, they say, Lord, would that be me? Would I soon also be carried back? Being on the same road, would it be my portion? God's people, they are afraid. The Lord will not keep them. They might fall away and they would perish by the hand of Saul. Then the third one is not that he meets him, but when they continue their road and their way, and then Christian says, yeah, this brings something to my mind. Something that, yeah, somebody that I have met. He says, oh, we are trembling now, you know. That brings something back in my memory. And then he tells about a person whose name was Little Faith. A little faith, he had been sleeping in the wrong place. Name of the place was Broad Road Gate Lane. And yeah, there was also Dead Man's Lane was close to it. He was, yeah, had been tired and just there, the close by that dangerous lane, he had laid down and slept. So he had been a little careless. You know what happened? Three men, robbers, came to him. And the one after the other, they were beating him. And another one took his money away. And another was beating him mercilessly. Three men, cruel men. First had a name of Faint Heart. The second's name was Mistrust. And the third's name was Guilt. That is again allegory, but that tells us something of what can happen to a soul who is not cautious, who is not on his guard, who perhaps goes too far to the broad way, to the world, who is too much involved in the things of this time and sense, or begins to neglect his life on his knees, and who becomes a little, yeah, sleepy and lays down in the wrong place. You know what could happen? Faint heart would come to him. Maybe something here within. Faint heart. That the strength of his spiritual life would begin to decline. And he would feel faint spiritually. And would have no energy anymore. No vigor anymore. No courage anymore. No desire anymore. Strong wishes anymore. Everything will become faint. Faint hearted. It is just, he's still alive, but, he's dragging himself, you know, as far as he, forward, as far as he can walk. And there's nothing that draws him, no desire to read, no desire to pray. And faith, he knows what has happened in his life, but it is growing so dim and so far away from him. And so his whole life comes at a low ebb. Faint heart. And then mistrust comes in. Yeah, it comes just at that place, at that time, you know. Mistrust. And says, yeah, you thought that the Lord spoke in your life. Eh? This word, and yeah, I know that, and that word. But is that now really true? Is that now God's word? You think that will ever happen in your life? Like you believe that would happen, the promises in which you trust, you think that will come to pass? I think the Lord has forgotten you. You were sleeping in the wrong place. And look at the condition of your heart. Look how it is here inside. You think that the Lord looks upon such a person? You think that he will fulfill his word to such a one? And so mistrust, robs him from all his money. He had quite a bit of money. All precious experiences, precious words in his life, precious times, but it takes it all away. And he can't find it anymore. And then the third one comes. And yeah, he also comes at just at the right time, or the wrong time, he would say, but oh, and he beats him. Guilt is his name. Guilt. You are so guilty. See your life what it is. You keep silence when you should speak. And you talk when you should be silent. And what is going on from your life now? Now look at it. In such a world is where we are living in now. And look at now your family. And look at the church. And look at now. Ah, come. Your life is nothing but to the dishonor of God. And nothing but a slap in his face. And here you went wrong and there. Oh, you are so guilty. And your guilt rises up and they are beaten by it. Beaten mercilessly. They have no defense because all what guilt says is true. And see, so it seems that little Faith will soon die. He lies there and the three are beating him and robbing him. And then suddenly, looks like they are scared. They're scared and they get up and they run away. Because, see, you know what's coming there? Great grace. Or good confidence. Good confidence. He is coming. And who good confidence is? It may be an exercised Christian. It may be that it is, yeah, something that the Lord brings back at that impossible moment. I was reading, it was before I left. Yeah, you read a lot, but many things sometimes that make you upset. Hey, maybe I shouldn't even think about the elections anymore. But sometimes, yeah, you can't help it. You would like to know, how is it now today? And you pick up the paper, you read a little portion, you get so upset and so sick and so down. And I said, yeah, what shall we say? I hope there may still be prayer, but the mockers say, are also busy. And yeah, if we look at ourselves, then there is no expectation either. But the Lord cannot do it for our sake either. He can give us up to the foolishness we deserve, and the lying we deserve, because we have forsaken the God of truth. May the Lord bring us there. But see, I was reading a little portion in Book of Reverend Vergunst, Senior. And he wrote about Mr. Atheist. Well, that's for another time, the Lord spares us. And he wrote about, yeah, there was a very learned, I think it was a theologian, was in light in the church, but he had a very sharp mind. And those are more prone even to those attacks than others, he wrote. But there was a time that he was thinking about the resurrection of Christ, and the mockers say that is impossible, that cannot be. And he was so attacked by it. The doubt came up. How can that now ever happen? That he came out of the grave of Joseph of Arimathea. And if the resurrection is not true, then nothing is true. Then the whole house goes upside down. So that's that's what happened to the man. So he could hardly do anything anymore. And he seemed to sink away in the waves of, yeah, ungodliness and being forsaken. I couldn't see anything anymore. And then in his all his, yeah, I would say, tribulation and heavy, heavy strife and nearly despair. Then one day the Lord spoke to him so powerfully from 1 Corinthians 5. And therefore it says, and he has now, but and if Christ be not risen, then is your preaching vain. But and if Christ not be raised, your faith is vain. But he said, but now is Christ, that word came to him, but now, just those words, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Just those words came with so much power that the bonds of unbelief were broken. So that can also be meant with the name good confidence, that in all the hopelessness, suddenly the Lord brings the word of Scripture or uses a sermon, and that good confidence, the confidence in the Lord and His word, breaks through with so much power that the robbers have to flee. It is also possible that he points to somebody who is used for it, although he sees that good confidence has also scares all over, so he must also have been in the strife, and he knows what the warfare is, but still the Lord gives deliverance, and so he may talk about little faith, and there is a little conversation between the two of them, between hopeful and Christian, because, yeah, then hopeful also says, how come that he did not lose his jewels? He still had his jewels. He lost his money, except a few pennies, but not enough for the whole way to celestial city. He would have to beg the rest of his life. Why didn't he sell his jewels? But no, his jewels, they cannot be sold as the work of grace. That is what the enemy did not take away, could not take away. That is what the Lord preserves himself. And see, then Christian, he may speak about it. How, now because of his own foolishness, this little faith has to go through life as a poor man. So what we see here is not that Bunyan does what sometimes we tend to do, or some of us maybe tend to do, say little faith, that is the truth, that is the true condition, that is the best condition, that is really the true work. You can see it, because that is one who doubts, and that is one who questions, and that is how it should be. No, that he doesn't say that. He says there's often also caused by neglect. Oh, sure, you may feel sorry for that poor man that has to go through life begging. Yes, you may say, oh, poor man, you may still have a warm feeling for him and say, there's still a child of God, because there are the jewels, though he most of the time doesn't even think about it himself and cannot see it himself. But there is still that pure, clean, divine work of the Lord in his life. And so he is a true child of God. It is not made up. And there are those jewels that by moments may be shown again. And though he goes through this life as a beggar, he will come to the end. That is true. But let us never forget that Bunyan speaks about little faith with a word of warning. Then the last one is they continue their way for a little while. And then they come to a fork in the road. And then they stand there for a little while and say, wondering, what should we do now? To the left or to the right? Oh, Christian, hopeful, do you forget your map? The Bible? Do you forget your map that one of the shepherds gave you? The way is laid out clearly on that map. You could see in Scripture, this is the way, walk ye in it. But no, they don't think about the map. And then there is a man coming to them. He's a dark complexion, but his clothes are white, shining, but at least very bright, very, very nice man in a white robe that makes a good impression. And he says, "What are you looking for? The way to, I know the way, you're going to the celestial city, yes? Well, just follow me." I'm going there too. So, and then they follow him, and he takes a road, and it takes all kind of turns, and before they know, all turning around, their face is looking entirely different way than this celestial city. They don't see the city anymore, and their face is turned away from it. And they're listening to the man. The man's name is, he's an easy talker, I think a nice talker, pleasant talker. His name is Flatter, so he says things that the flesh likes to hear. And then suddenly they walk into a net. A net. And they're so entangled in the net, both of them, and can't even get out of it anymore. And then they look at the man with the white garment, and he drops the white garment. Oh, now they see. This is that dark man. But that white garment was just a covering. This one of Proverbs 29, verse 5. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. And how do we have to be careful with those who speak to our mouth and not to our heart? Speak things that are maybe encouraging for also our religious flesh, but which are not true, who do not warn us, do not say, "Are you in the right way?" Say, "No, it's all fine with you." And who say, "Just follow me." And I would never have come out of that net anymore if not a shining one, angel, shining one would have come and rent the net and given them escape. But wait a moment before they continue. The shining one takes the whip. And boy, do they get spankings, both of them. Do they get spankings, chastisements from the hand of the Lord? They will never forget their foolishness. They left the road. They didn't look at the map. They were entangled in the flattery, in the nice-looking way and the nice-sounding words of flatterer. But it was a net. And so they are warned not to do that again anymore. And congregation, dear friends, so we have seen four people. And the first one's name was ignorance. The next one was turn away. The third one, little faith. And then the man in the white robe, but it was not the one with the robe of righteousness. It was not the holy one, but was a man with a dark complexion, man who had just covered up his darkness, his evil, the works of darkness, with nice words. And so they continue, and now they will remember the map, and will remember also the spankings. Maybe we need them too. We will now sing together. From Psalter 384, and if you have questions, please write them down, and maybe we can talk a little further yet. It always helps me to have a few questions about this subject, preferably. 384, all five stanzas. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to thee. Each spoken word, each silent thought, thou, Lord, dost understand. And what follows in all five stanzas of 384. Sing a few more because I don't have the questions yet and collection has been taken already. Well, let us sing then 388. To thee, O Lord, I humbly cry, to thee my supplication make, and we can sing all five stanzas. So thou knowest, Lord, my deep distress, the lonely path, the hidden snare. Our refuge faileth, friends forsake, and no man for my soul doth care. 1 through 5, 388.
Thank you.
There are no questions, so maybe that you have a question, Jeff. Against him, that's but against him, that he has little faith, you mean? Yeah. So that the Lord looks upon a person is never because of anything in himself, that's true. Not in the beginning and also not later on in life. If the Lord comes back, then it is only because he remembers his covenant. And he shows that he does remember his own word. And so even in little faith, and little faith is in that, we would say, sad condition, because that is what it is, and he has brought himself into it, that is clear. He went to sleep at a place where he should not have been. He didn't need to come there. He didn't need to be on that broad road gate lane. And he knew it was a dangerous place, but he didn't see the dangers. And so he went to sleep. And there the robbers came. Now we know, for instance, Huntington, he also writes about little faith and and then he writes about little faith as one who has remained small because of the Hagarines, the spiritual children of Hagar. Hey? Hagarines, who have kept him under a heavy yoke, so he could never grow. That's what Huntington writes. So he means somebody has been kept under the works of the law, who's been treated in a very legalistic way, has never been pointed rightly to the only way in which there is hope. And so who always remains small. So that is another, then you look at it from another angle, then you say the fault is more by others. And it can also not be denied that, the Lord has small children and he has children that may have grown up a little bit. That is according to Scripture. And that even in the same person, faith may be strong at one time and in other times it may be very small again. Now what Bunyan wanted to emphasize is that it is also possible that, we have little faith because we have neglected the means of grace, neglected to be watchful, have mingled too much with the world, so that faint heart, so that the life became faint, prayer becomes a duty, Scripture reading becomes something, and there was a time that there was a hunger and a thirst and a desire, and that it has become so different. Now, that is where what Christian remembers and what Bunyan wants to also portray in his conversation with Hopeful. But he also says, think of it, he still had his jewels. And that is the work of grace. Does that answer your question a little bit? More or less. I don't know if it was the question. Eh? Are there more questions? Maybe I should ask questions. I should ask, are you afraid that you are Mr. Turn, Mrs. Turn away? Eh? That could be too. Now it can become personal maybe. But are there those who say, maybe that's me, turn away. Far on the road, or not so far, serious beginning. And Yeah. And I would wanna be no wonder if we compare with what we should be and what we sometimes have been, then maybe the fear will come to that apostasy, that falling away. God's people need to be kept from the very beginning to the end of their life. But that Bunyan writes about it is not to frighten God's people only, but to drive them on their knees and to warn against the not discerning the difference between saving faith and temporary faith. That is, Mr. Turnaway is an example of one who has just temporary faith. And I talked with the confession class Monday night, and then we said, what is now the difference between temporary faith and saving faith? And maybe there are those who are listening now and say, well, please tell me that now. Can you tell us now the difference between temporary faith and saving faith? Temporary faith, there can be as much emotion or even more sometimes than in those who have saving faith. There can be as many tears, and there can also be joy in hearing the word. There can be a little taste, we would say, of it. There could be something that, that would really make you think this is a person with life. It's not dead, it's not barren. There's a lively expression of joy and of sorrow. And still, no root. And what is that root? That heart has not changed. And the heart of a temporary believer has basically but one concern, and that is their own happiness and their own safety, and not God's honor, not God's glory. And in saving faith, there is something bound on the heart that the temporary believer doesn't have, and that is, Lord, what wilt thou do unto thy great name? There was a child of God who said, Lord, I deserve that I would never come back, but if thou would give me up, and I would be lost, I would be deserved. But she said, then thou would lose more than I do. What did she mean? Well, I would lose my salvation, yes, but the Lord would lose his honor. His name is involved in it. And there's a people in the world, there is something in the heart that longs for the glory and the honor of God and for communion with God. They long to be near to him, not just for the nice feeling, but Asaph says, it is good for me to draw nigh unto God. If they miss the communion, if the Lord doesn't speak to their soul, that can distress them. Maybe not for a while, but there comes a time that it begins to eat. And they say, oh Lord, this is so long ago. Will thou yet come back? May I yet hear thy voice? And the wife of Brachos, he said, Lord, I believe it, but please say it another time, because I love to hear thy voice. Now, I think it is clear that Mr. Turnaway is one who never had a true longing for the communion with God, who never had a true concern for his glory, and who missed the love of God. But love can be so low that you can't discern it anymore. That's true too. So basically and ultimately, there's only the Lord by his Spirit who can shed light upon it. And that man in a white robe, I don't say that you have to distrust everyone. First of all, distrust yourself. But there are people who can always speak things you like to hear, And if you give in to that, you may soon be in a net. But seek a ministry, seek a reading material that may shake you maybe sometimes, that is examining, discriminating, that searching. We have but one soul to lose or to gain. And if it is true in our life, then the Lord will also use stories as Mr. Turnaway, for instance. It drives the people on their knees and it brings them again in the right place. They want to be dealt with in an honest way. Any questions yet? Maybe you say, I'm Mr. Ignorance. Hey, I know so little. But yeah, that's the difference. Mr. Ignorance did not think he knew so little. He thought he knew so much. He thought he was so well versed in Scripture and knew as much as others. And he was intellectual. He was a man with, we would say, with intellect and wise in his own eyes. And also God's people may have something of that conceit in their life sometimes. Sometimes their old nature also wants to be something. So if the Lord doesn't strip them time and again, they will just go the same way as ignorance. They would also begun to be presumptuous and self-exalted and self-content. But the Lord has many ways to bring them down again. And also their failures he uses for that purpose. You feel there's a little instruction in the book of Pilgrim's Progress for you? Hey, you say, yeah, that is. And maybe you say, well, I still didn't hear my name. Maybe next time then. But we can see that Bunyan had a deep knowledge of the human heart and also of the plague of the heart, also the strifes in the life of God's people. And we see on the one hand how pastoral he is, and the other hand how examining, how searching he is. And dear friends, I hope that you tonight yet may say, Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me. And is there any wicked way? Lead me to the way everlasting. And then I hope that it may bring you to him who has never flattered anyone, who has spoken the truth, sometimes sharp as a knife, but who always they not only make wounds, but he also has, when he has wounded, when he has stricken, he also gives the balm in Gilead and binds the broken hearted. Shall we then now sing together and close for this evening of Psalter 242 to 42. Almighty God, thy lofty throne is justice for its cornerstone. Shining bright before thy face are truth and love and boundless grace. What follows in 1 through 4 of 242. shall we try to close. Lord of heaven and of the earth, when in this evening we have been together for an hour in thy house, and we could discuss another portion of that pastoral and so instructive book, The Pilgrim's Progress, that we have heard how many times, also little faith is on the wrong place, and how he is beaten, and how he is faint-hearted, and how he cannot see anything of the truth of thy word and promises in his life anymore. Oh, if then there would not have been that great confidence, if thou would not have broken through in his life, and that faith would have been revived, and the enemy would have to flee, then he would have perished. And Lord, how many times thy church also fears, I will one day perish by the hand of Saul. Oh, how often thy afflicted church can also fear that they will be like Mr. Turnaway. But Lord, we have tried to indicate a great distinction and very essential difference between the two of them. All the love of God has been shed abroad in the heart of thy people. There has come a time in their life it was not for heaven's sake or for hell's sake, for the sake of hell, that they began to cry and to seek and to flee. It was because they were missing thee, and they could not miss thee any longer. It was because their heart was won over for thee. Oh, they had said with Rebecca, I will go. And then they came into the wilderness, and there they could not see the jewels anymore that they had received. But, oh Lord, there was that time, I will go. Wilt thou then also remember these friends? Thou knowest everyone's condition and life. May it be, Lord, that our life may be founded in Scripture, and not on what others say, and even not on the best books in the world, but may it be according to thy word. And may that word then be applied to the hearts. Then the doubt would be taken away. Then faith would believe again. Then they would say, I have heard it myself out of his own mouth. But Lord, remember also those who are like Mr. Ignorant. All may be thinking they know a lot of the truth, being wise in their own eyes, and not washed from their filthiness. But wilt thou grant that their wisdom may be removed, and for the first time in their life they may, like Paul, he was also a wise man, before he was stopped, he knew the way. He knew the truth. He knew everything. He knew what was right. And he was right. And he was on the right way. That's what he thought. And then thou came. And he had to be taken by the hand. He couldn't see a thing anymore. Blind in the darkness. Oh Lord, may there be people whose soul must be taken by the hand, who could not do a step anymore, but who would say, Lord, show me thy way. Bring us now safely home. May we acknowledge thee for this evening, yet forgive the shortcomings, and bring us back again, if it may be thy will, on this Sabbath day, and that for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Good night, friends.